Valley that makes a noise. It's the sweet, sweet Valley Live. A sweet Valley Jack and Tanner enjoy. And a sweet analysis of the Sweet Valley books will never annoy you. The sweet, sweet Valley boys. If you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. Now your life is sweet and it's full of joy. Cause you're in Sweet Valley with the sweet, sweet Valley.
I've decided I need to be a little bit cooler on our podcast.
Why?
It's been a long time. Because I do all the editing.
I have a tip, hot tip.
Okay.
If you want to be cooler.
Yeah.
Take down the Christmas decorations.
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
There's the wreath on the wall behind you.
Yeah, but no one can see that. And
I can see it. It makes you look like a dork.
It's not my house.
Who's
Cyril's grandma's house.
Well.
In Pennsylvania.
Take down the Christmas decorations.
No. I do all the
editing. So is grandma worried about being cool?
No, she's not. But that's part of being cool is like not worrying about it.
Yeah. So you need to take a page out of my book.
I do all the editing and I listen. So I spend a lot of time listening to us.
Yeah. And you're like, man, Tanner sounds so cool.
No, I just think I could stand to be like two ticks cooler, and that's what's happening
today. Tanner
sounds
so cool. How could I be as cool as him?
I'm gonna. I think it all comes down to speaking slower and not rising to the bait when you try to bait me.
Okay,
that's a part of it.
So I just tried to bait you a second ago, and you took the bait.
It didn't fucking work this time.
It did. You got it all
didn't.
Pissy.
No, I didn't.
For a brief moment, you did.
But you were talking about something that people can't see. They because they're listening, so I have to
You're
fucking contextualize.
You're
still I'm not pissed.
It.
I'm not. You're gonna notice. I'm gonna be a little bit fucking cooler today.
Are you?
I don't think. I think okay. You already can tell. You can already tell because I'm speaking a little slower. I've got this like ironic detachment a little bit.
We can't both be cool.
I don't think you've even tried yet.
That's my thing.
No, that's not your thing. I'm going to be, just for once, can you humor me? Can I be cool, the cool one this time? Just for this
care.
One. Okay.
I don't care.
No, that's you. Okay, whatever. Look, let's introduce the show. A great big Sweet Valley hi and humble greetings and salutations.
I can't believe we're still reading these fucking books.
Don't, please
This is the
don't.
Last one, right?
Please don't. I kind of think there's going to be one more.
No, this has got to be the last one.
Humble greetings and just try to bring a fun energy today. Because I'm being cool, so I can't be fun and cool.
Well, I am cool, and I can't be fun and cool.
Just try. Just spread your wings a little bit.
Okay.
Humble greetings and salutations and a great big Sweet Valley hi to all the sweeties out there. I am Sweet Valley Jack.
And I'm Tanner.
Okay. And we read the Sweet Valley hi books, and this week we read a really genuinely fun romp of a book that was fun and you liked it. It was called Sweet Valley High number 11, Too Good to Be True.
Too Good to Be True.
And Jessica's not even the mean one today.
Oh, she's plenty mean. Well, I don't know. She is mean because she tries to sleep with Susie's boyfriend.
Yeah,
Paul.
That's mean. Yeah,
is it Paul?
That is mean. And his name is Paul.
But then he turns out to be even meaner.
Even meaner, yeah.
Because he's
a creep.
Sexual assaulter.
A sexual predator, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that's just what...
What do you call him in England? Sex pest.
He's a sex pest, yeah.
He's sex pest.
He's a sex pest. And I think in the Francine's world, every man over the age of 18...
Is a sex pest.
Is a sex pest.
Except for Roger Collins.
Except for Roger Collins.
You and I...
Yeah, we're going to get to
that. Have had words about whether or not we think Roger Collins
we're gonna,
is a sex pest.
This is
I
gonna
say
be,
yes.
It's going to be a big part of our discussion today is whether or not Roger Collins, the cool teacher, is a sex pest. But we've got a lot to do before we get there. You've pointed out to me last week that you've been doing a bit that I have been aware of where I always describe the books. And so I'm onto that. And so it's very clearly your turn this week.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, I'm certain.
I think I... admitted that I do that bit and then did the description last week.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I said,
I'm pretty certain.
You caught me. I do that bit. I'll do the description this week. So I think it's your turn.
Are you absolutely sure that
yes,
that's
I did
the
it.
Case?
Yeah, you timed me.
I timed you?
Yeah. You did the timing. I did the describing last week.
I think
because I was caught in your honey
I don't
trap.
Think so. I don't think so.
That's absolutely true.
I don't think so.
That's absolutely true. You just edited the episode.
Yeah. And
it was true.
I did the description. So it's
no,
your
you
fucking
didn't.
Turn. Are you sure?
I swear to God.
Okay, I'll do it.
Didn't you just edit the episode?
If you're fucking with me.
Didn't you just edit the episode?
I just edited it, and I did the description. It's your turn.
No, you did. That was the week before.
This is not good audio. You do it.
That was the week before. I'm not doing it. I just did it.
Look, I'll do it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
How about that?
Because it's your turn.
I'll do it. You give me 60 seconds. I'll say what happens in the novel. It's called Sweet Valley High, number 11, Too Good to Be True by Francine Pascal.
In 5, 4, 3.
The Wakefields are having their friend's daughter over to stay. Her name is Susie. She's from New York, and she's beautiful. No surprises there. But apparently Ned can't afford to send both girls to New York in this exchange, so he only sends one, and it's Jess. And there's a lot of infighting about that between the two of them, but Jess kind of tricks her way to be the one who goes to New York. Susie comes to Sweet Valley, and she's so nice. She's so nice to Elizabeth. She's so nice to all the friends. Everyone loves her. All the boys are completely head over heels for her because she's so gorgeous. Turns out she's actually a meanie, and she tries to ensnare Mr. Collins in her trap, and he's the teacher, and he's not interested, but she goes over and babysits at his house and then tries to seduce him, and he says no, and then she's like, all right, well, you shouldn't have said no. I'm going to tell everyone you were a sex pest, and almost ruins his reputation. Meanwhile, in New York, Jessica has like the reverse of that experience where she tries to seduce Susie's boyfriend in New York, and he doesn't seem interested. But then he's a sex pest. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth goes toe-to-toe with Susie and eventually salvages Mr. Collins' reputation. Are you keeping even an eye on the timer?
So when I started the timer, I started it too early, so then I hit reset on it.
So you can't even do
that. But when I hit reset, it didn't actually start the timer.
Awful.
Just sort of been trying to guess at what 60 seconds.
Well,
is.
That was definitely more than 60 seconds. But okay. Anyway, I did a really good job.
Hey, good job. Francine really has made her, well, at least her mid-90s rap allegiances pretty clear, East Coast versus West Coast.
Okay.
She does not like New York or people from New York.
Is that true?
Yeah, I don't think that she's describes a single one of the characters who live in New York positively. There's Paul the sex pest.
Yeah.
There's Susie, the sociopath on a level that sociopath.
Jessica could only aspire to.
There's Mrs. Dempsey, who is joyless and just smokes cigarettes, like some small, skinny brown cigarettes.
Skinny cigarettes. And like, I can't remember the line, but at some point Jessica was like, being hugged by her was like being like hugged by like an air freshener or something like that.
And there's Mr. Dempsey, who's never around because he's like a workaholic. They send Susie off to boarding school at like age 9.
And it's messed her up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's made her a worse person. Yeah, I think Francine is very clear that she does not like
New York. The New York sensibility is not for her.
So she's not a big fan of Biggie, P. Diddy, Nas.
Wu-Tang Clan, not a big fan of. That's Staten Island. Mm. But what she does love is she loves Tupac. She loves Dr. Dre. She loves Snoop. And, you know, the whole Dog Pound probably, and Warren G and Nate Dogg and all those guys. Blackstar. She doesn't talk about them, but.
And then, you know, the sort of flyover country rappers, Eminem.
Outkast.
Kanye.
Yeah.
Nelly.
She doesn't
Lunatics.
Weigh in.
Yeah.
But that's not really the main thrust of this book. The main thing about this book, and I just want to kind of come right out and talk about it with you.
Yuck.
Come on, man. Not even. Let me read you this passage.
You're the one who said the gross thing.
I'm not
Don't
rising.
Come at me.
No, I'm cool. I'm the cool one.
Yeah.
Listen, ready?
Yeah.
So this is a description of Suzanne.
Okay.
She's so beautiful, guys, folks.
Yeah.
She's so beautiful. She's like more beautiful than anyone. Even like any of the girls at Sweet Valley who have previously been described as like
the most beautiful specimen.
The most beautiful girls you could possibly imagine. This girl, Susie, is like eclipses them.
Right.
Okay. Suzanne, despite her embarrassment over being so pale, looked absolutely stunning in her striped bikini. She was flawlessly proportioned with legs that seemed to go on forever and not an ounce of fat anywhere. Suddenly, Elizabeth felt self-conscious about her own lovely size 6 figure. Tanner, who does that describe in your mind?
Who, the Elizabeth size 6 thing, or?
No, not the Elizabeth part.
The legs that go on forever.
Flawlessly proportioned legs that seem to go on forever, totally pale.
Mrs. Barrett.
Slenderman.
Oh, Slenderman. Yeah.
It's a Slenderman.
It does sound like Slenderman. Here's the thing about what Francine wrote there.
Yeah.
She said she's flawlessly proportioned, right?
Right. Yeah. But so arms, she also arms are the same length as the legs.
She also has legs that go on forever. So that means like the rest of her goes on forever.
Goes on forever. Like the Slenderman. And she's like completely pale. Yeah. And so I don't know what size.
And she's also lacking any facial features.
I don't know what size this means.
Oh, I don't know what size this means either.
But listen to this. Suddenly, Elizabeth felt self-conscious about her own lovely size 6. I think six is for how many feet you are, right? So Elizabeth is size 6, and she's self-conscious. So that means that...
I'm 6 feet.
Right. So that's what Elizabeth is, size 6.
4.
Suzanne, if Elizabeth is self-conscious, how many feet...
I don't wear size 6.
I'm not talking about...
Miles wears size 6. Shoes.
We're not talking about shoes.
Okay.
I think it's how tall you are. Because the Slender Man is extremely tall. It'd be like 7 or 8 feet. And that's why Elizabeth, who's just a size 6, which is, I assuming, 6 feet.
6 feet.
Could be meters.
Oh, maybe it's meters.
I don't know. I don't know the sizes.
I don't know.
But she feels self-conscious. That's what Francine has given us to work with. So she's like,
stone?
I'm a size 6.
They say stone a lot?
That's for, what
is that height?
That's for.
You're as tall as a stone?
If you're as tall, I think it's if you're as tall as a stone.
Right, like the Blarney Stone?
Like the Blarney Stone specifically.
Yeah.
But so that's the Slender Man. Can I read you another passage while we're here?
Yeah.
This is when Suzanne is like fucking just trying to seduce Mr. Collins over at his house. She like...
Oh, yeah. So Suzanne, or Susie...
Yeah.
Sets her sights on Roger Collins early on. She sees him. She's like, I'm going to... bang that dad.
Yeah.
And then she makes him her crusade.
Yeah, and she does an awful thing, which like shouldn't... he should have called this off. And when we get to Collins Watch, our hit segment, yeah. Collins Watch, we're going to probably debate this. But like Elizabeth is babysitting for his like 5-year-old kid, Teddy. And like Elizabeth just like subs in Susie at the last minute, kind of through machinations of Susie's. And doesn't tell him... And he allows it, even though he knows that she's done this thing where she like pretended to drown, and he was like, "All right, dude."
Yeah, she's
and
already.
He
through.
Like rescued her, so she comes to his house, and here's what is described. He was wearing only a pair of white jogging shorts and a red bandana to keep.
Jesus, I bet you could see his whole dick through that. Yeah. Don't you think?
I would think so. Yeah,
you probably see his whole dick through.
Only a pair of white jogging shorts. Yeah,
right.
And he's got he does not have a shirt on. And a red bandana to keep his longish strawberry blonde hair out of his eyes. I got in the biggest fight with my cousin. Have I ever told you about this?
No.
I'm realizing, yeah, Pip, and Pip's important to this podcast because she's the person who introduced me to both Babysitter's Club and Sweet Valley High.
Right.
I got in this big fight with my cousin where she told me my dad had strawberry blonde hair. And I was like, no, he fucking doesn't. He's got brown hair. And then we got in this huge fucking fight about it. And I was like...
I know your dad. I think he has sort of grayish white hair.
Okay, well, this was like 35 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I just got really mad at her because I was like, I get to know what color my dad's hair is.
What color would you describe your hair as?
It's brown.
It's dirty blonde.
Okay, but
I have brown hair. See,
that's beside the point. I think
this
I've
is
even,
brown hair.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Look
it
at
it
your
looks
hair.
The same as mine. But I think I've mentioned this weird fight that really stuck with me on the podcast before. But like the point is that I'm realizing now. At the time, I was like, "Don't fucking make up colors for like my own dad's hair." Like that's
right.
Something that's like my province. But what I'm realizing is like she has just been like mainlining Sweet Valley High books.
Yeah, I think she was probably just trying to have like a fun conversation with you too.
Well, she was mean about it. She was actually pretty mean about it. I was like, no. Initially, I was like, no, I don't think so. I think it's brown. And she was like very insistent, and we got in a big fight. So she wasn't trying to have a fun conversation.
Well, it sounds like you were mean about it because she was like,
I was mean about it because she was.
Hair.
She didn't say flirty, but I got in trouble. I got in trouble. I ended up getting
good
in trouble
because it sounded like you were the instigator. She was just trying to girl talk with you. Just like me a second ago, talking about your dirty blonde hair, dishwater dirty blonde hair.
It's not a nice way of describing my hair. Listen, he was wearing only a pair of white jogging shorts, because he is dong, red bandana to keep his longish strawberry blonde hair out of his eyes. Susan, what does that even mean? It's like red, but it's yellow? What does that even mean?
My sister has what she describes as strawberry blonde hair.
Is it red? It's because I know
blonde.
I know what color a strawberry is.
It's blonde with just a little kiss of red in it.
That's nothing.
You know?
That's
in the
nothing.
Right light, you're like,
yeah, that's nothing.
Oh, there's a little kiss of red in there.
Suzanne's gaze strayed down to his bare muscular chest, which was deeply tanned and slick with perspiration. What has this guy been doing? He's just like at his house. It's so hot, she exclaimed, wilting into a nearby chaise longue. She propped her slender legs up to give him a better view.
Slender man. Sounds like something Slender Man would do.
The tan she'd acquired over the past few days was perfectly shown off by the skimpy yellow shorts she wore. Mind if I steal a quick drink from the hose? And that's also something that the Slender Man would do.
I think so. Yeah, or a dog.
Because people drink out of...
Or Miles.
A mug or something.
Yeah, they would drink out of a mug or like a water bottle or something.
Yeah.
She's just drinking right out of the hose.
Mm-hmm.
But then she uses it as an excuse to saturate her top with cold
water. It's grim.
Show
the
off
whole
her.
Thing is grim. It's pretty grim. But it's the Slender Man. Are bosoms. We agreed on that?
So she's bosoms out and he's wang out.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Just, look
it's
at this
charged
parade of genitals coming down Sunnyvale Street or whatever.
And it's also the Slender Man.
And it's the Slender Man. And TBD on Slender Man's genitals. I don't think the lore. Well, let me look.
No, let's not.
Does?
I
Slender Man.
I think you get on a list if you Google Slender Man genitals.
Genitals.
I think you get on a list if you Google it.
And
don't
of course
you think?
The first link is Reddit.
Reddit's like, well, actually, we've answered
and
that
it is
one.
The Ask Reddit subreddit, and it's how do you picture Slender Man's penis?
Perfect. Is that you?
And then it has zero upvotes.
Okay.
There is a 27 comment conversation underneath it.
Okay.
The first person said, I just don't. Okay.
All right.
Not all of us live with that kind of privilege. Yeah. Skinny long thing with no hole.
Okay. With no
Does that
hole?
Seem right?
Yeah, that sounds right. It's pretty slender.
Long and skinny with no hole.
Okay. That's about the best that we're going to do here.
How do you picture Roger Collins' penis?
Let's do our Collins Watch segment. This is Collins Watch.
Perfect segue.
Tanner, you have stated previously that you think Mr. Collins is a creep. Mr. Collins is the teacher. He is the guy who is in charge of the...
adult editor of the Oracle.
I keep wanting to say Priory Press, but the Priory Press is the name of the newspaper that I wrote the humor column for in high school.
And that's Jack's subtle way of
it was called the last word with Jack Shepherd. The last word, and it was the final thing in the paper on the back page. The last word for the Priory Press. It was called the Priory Press because of course.
Did you go to a religious
my
school?
My school was run by monks, wasn't it?
Ah, there it was. Yeah.
Pax in sapientia.
That is peace in sapientia.
You can do this, man.
Humanity?
No, come on. You can do this. You got to the Sapient. Wrong place for the right reasons. The homo is of sapiens is the humanity part.
Right.
So what
upright.
Kind of a... You suck. It's knowledge. It's wisdom.
Knowledge.
It's a knowing. It's the knowing man.
Pax is peace, though. I got that right, right?
Pax is peace. So he's the faculty advisor for the Oracle, and your premise is that he's a creep. Marissa Flaxbart of Sweet Valley Diaries, whom we spoke with last week, thinks that he's nice. I haven't weighed in yet.
Yeah, you're on the fence. You're Plumber Steve.
I'm Joe the Plumber.
Joe the Plumber. Yeah.
Okay, that's not a reference that a lot of people are going to get. And it's also
mean?
Not a
fine
accurate
Ken Bone.
Use of that reference.
You're Ken Bone.
The Ken Bone is better and still pretty antiquated at this stage. Yeah,
you're
I'm Ken Bone.
Pregnant women.
I'm at the.
You call them submarines.
I don't want to get into Ken Bone lore. It's like another step too far. Look, there's in the debate
sexual fascination.
They invite me to the debate to ask a question.
Yeah.
How I feel about
pregnant women
or whatever is irrelevant.
Right.
But they invite
it becomes relevant.
Yeah. But they invited me in this case, what's relevant is that they invited me to the debate to ask some just asking questions.
Yeah. Just asking
about whether Mr. Collins is a creep or not. Here's some evidence to the contrary.
Okay.
This is the big class picnic, and Francine describes it as like everyone's just so fucking hot.
Yeah.
Everyone's a babe. Sexy. It's just like then everyone is the biggest babe, and then the next person is an even bigger babe. I won't read the whole passage, but it's literally like, if you thought Weenie Rollins was looking great, you should see this next person, and they're looking fucking great too. All the boys have got rippling
even
muscles.
Even Enid Weenie Rollins got in on the action. Francine was like, she's a babe now.
Yeah. It was the most fun Elizabeth could ever remember having at a class picnic. The weather was just right, the lake was a perfect temperature, and everybody seemed to be in a good mood. Even Mr. Collins, who had agreed to act as a chaperone and unofficial lifeguard, seemed to be having a good time. All right, Mr. Collins.
And you read that passage and you're like, oh, no signal.
On a fucking Saturday, he's like, I do have a child. I'm a single dad.
I'm a single dad. What I'm going to do is I'm gonna squeeze into these white shorts. So all these 16-year-olds can see my dong, and I'm going to go to this beach party and ogle the hottest teens.
Well, I hope you're happy, because guess what happened? What you did to him this week is he got fully canceled for something he did. We watched it, and he didn't do it.
He did not do it, okay?
He was like, no, stop it.
And that's fine. But the fact that he recognized in himself that he would and could...
Yeah, no, it's already bad.
And needed to fight so hard to resist.
It's already bad.
Suzanne?
She could, I mean, it's kind of from her POV, but she's like, she could see the effect she was having on him. And it's like, no.
You can see it coming through his little
white
shorts.
I'm going to weigh in because I have that, you know, I'm the undecided voter and my vote matters. And I'm the Olivia and you're the Kara. I'm going to let Olivia and Kara do the talking for me.
Okay.
May I read
this
passage?
Yeah.
This is kind of after it's been... The rumor has been spread, but before Elizabeth has vindicated him. The group that was gathered on Kara's back patio was divided into two factions, the Get Mr. Collins Fired bunch versus the ones who were loyal to him, no matter what. I don't care what anyone says, this is me. I don't care what anyone says, spoke frizzy-haired Olivia Davidson, her blue eyes flashing with indignation. I don't believe Mr. Collins would do something like that. Olivia worked on the paper too, just like me, and was devoted to the handsome young faculty advisor. She shared his liberal views and hated injustice just as much as he did, just like me. Well, I believe it, and this is you. Well, I believe it, said Kara, who was passing out sodas, something you would likely do.
That's cool, though. That's nice. That's hospitable.
I've always thought he was the lecherous type. I've caught him looking at me more than once. Besides, he gave me a D on my last English essay, something you would get on an English essay. Todd and Elizabeth exchanged looks.
I would get a D on a math
essay. Kara was one of the biggest gossips in school, just like you, as well as being Jessica's best friend, probably someone you would befriend. She was probably responsible for the rumor spreading as quickly as it had. And so the real takeaway...
Sorry, you're unable to make friends.
The real takeaway this week is that I am the Olivia, liberal, hate injustice...
Yeah.
Quirky, works on the paper, and you're Kara, one of the biggest gossips in school, and you got a D on your last English essay. And how
I think that's fine. I want to ask, or want to insist, maybe, that it's fine for you to weigh in and say that Collins is not a creep this week.
Okay.
But I want you to be open to the possibility that he could become a creep in
the future.
Sessions.
Yeah, I'm pretty open.
Okay.
I think it's
fine.
I just think the chaperone thing is weird.
He's sort of gotten in a little bit of hot water this week, and it really wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
He was accused of being a sex pest.
And he wasn't a sex pest.
And he wasn't being a sex pest. He was being a responsible man.
And she's so mean to his kid. It actually
He like cries himself to sleep.
It actually really hurt my feelings. Because he was like, Teddy's like, she's like nice to him in front of Mr. Collins. She's like, I'm going to show you how to do a cat's cradle. And he's like, yay, I'm so excited. And then as soon as Mr. Collins leaves, she's like, hey, you little brat, go watch TV. Stop bothering me. And like,
don't talk to me.
When she, like, at 11 o'clock, he's like fallen asleep in front of the TV and like his eyes are red from crying. It's just like, Jesus, Francine.
She's bad.
Yeah.
Collins is bad. Everyone is bad. Jessica's bad. Paul is bad. These books are bad. Everyone is mean.
Let me ask you, we've got just a little bit more time before our break and before we have to do our review. Tim Cook kind of pick his head out today at the
end
of the book.
How are we not on this guy's good side yet?
Tim Cook?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we are on his
good
side.
Does he have any direction for us? Like, I feel like we're trying so hard.
He just, I get to the end of the book. Sometimes I see him, sometimes I don't. But this time I saw him and he was like, hey, can you rate and review the book? People are not.
I just feel like if he's upset with the way we're doing it,
I don't think he's
give
upset.
Us direction.
I think he likes it. He just wants more of it. I think it's just not catching on.
Well, then I think you and I should think about our strategy here.
Okay. Well, let's talk about
whether
it.
Or not, I think we should make it sexier.
Okay, we'll make it sexier. But let me give you. I want to do
that. Grabs people's attentions, especially in like the fucking like wasteland that is the iBooks reviews.
Let's make it sexier.
None of those are sexy.
Not too sexy, because remember that these are books for teens. And so teens are going to be reading our reviews. Let me bring up one last thing, then we're going to take a break, then we're going to do our review.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Oh, don't tell me you've forgotten already. Let me help you remember. This is, okay, shit, I should really give context for this.
Yeah.
The thing that Susie does once Elizabeth confronts her, because she finds out that she stole her necklace. And she's like, oh, if you stole my necklace, that means that this whole thing is a facade. And now I believe Mr. Collins.
Yep.
And so she confronts her and Susie's like, doesn't even really try to deny it. And she's like, yeah, I fucking framed him, but no one's ever going to believe you. And in fact, I'm going to immediately go and start spreading rumors that you're like, remember when after you were in a coma, you turned into a different person for a book and we all read that book and you were different and you were mean. Like, I'm going to spread rumor that like that's happened again.
Convince everyone.
And you like banged your head and you've become crazy.
You hit your head so hard in the pool the other day.
So Liz confronts her about this. Oh, don't tell me you've forgotten already. Let me help you remember. We went swimming and you cracked your head against the side of the pool doing laps. You're making it up. I never even went swimming yesterday. Liz is the worst too sometimes.
Yeah.
A little bit. Why would I want to make up a thing like that? Liz, you're absolutely my dearest friend. I would simply die if anything happened to you. I'd rather have a rattlesnake for a friend, Elizabeth cried in a choked voice. After what you did, stealing my necklace, making up that terrible story about Mr. Collins and Tanner, my question is, could you imagine this? Having a rattlesnake for a friend?
Oh, boy.
Could you imagine this? If
rattlesnake for a friend.
Think of all the japes that you could
Here's what I'm worried about. I don't know what their personality's like. I think it's not good. I think
but it's your
aggressive.
Friend.
Yeah. I don't know if I would be friends with someone like that.
So for you, in this scenario, it is your friend.
Oh, okay.
And I'm picturing it kind of as a sitcom.
Tanner and the Snake.
And you have like, you know how in the UK, I was thinking Rattlesnake Jake.
Oh, Rattlesnake Jake. And that's the name of the sitcom?
That's just what kind of popped into my head.
Well, that would make me like a side character.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm seeing this. But you know, in the UK, sometimes when they like when you
do, you think it'd be more interesting or like a little, maybe even like a little subversive in kind of an interesting way if it were just like a straight four camera sitcom about me, and it's called like Tanner, and then
Tanner.
Like you're three episodes in, and I introduce you to my best friend,
the snake,
Rattlesnake Jake.
I think the snake is going to be. Then you're in a situation where people are going to be like, do you watch Tanner? And it's like, yeah, I only watch it for the snake. And that's going to make you feel bad. I think if you call it Rattlesnake Jake.
Oh, and then some people will be like, oh, I love
some people
it.
Like, I
Tanner
really have
character.
A soft spot for the Tanner character.
Right. That is better.
But think about this. You know, in the UK, they have the, and when you flush a toilet, instead of pushing down the little knob, you like pull on a big chain.
Yeah.
But what if it's the Rattlesnake Jake?
And he bites you. You have to go
for
to
that.
You have to go to like poison control.
Yeah.
Get for the venom. Oh, and he bites you on the dick, and you're like, someone suck out the venom, right?
No, it's not that kind of a show. It's not like HBO.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the hijinks I thought of. What else?
Maybe you're driving a truck, you know, and they have that little, the horn is like a little rope.
Okay, yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah, and they pull it, and
some
it's Rattlesnake
like,
Jake.
And you're like, oh, okay. And it's Rattlesnake, and the Rattlesnake Jake comes out.
This is good.
That's good.
Yeah.
What are some other situations where you pull a rope?
Tug of war.
Yeah,
it's the school tug of war. And then,
and like, I win because I'm on the side with the rattle and the kids are on the side of the snakehead and he just keeps biting them.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
What else? When would you pull a rope?
Maybe I'm in a CrossFit.
CrossFit.
You know, they
is
have
funny.
Those ropes that you
yeah,
get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like with Hans and Franz.
Yeah, and one of them is rattlesnake. And we could probably use it as a vehicle to bring back Hans and Franz. Who's that? Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon?
Kevin Nealon, yeah.
Yeah. They're set for a comeback, right?
Let's take a break. I'm glad you're on board. Are you on board? You're on board for Rattlesnake Jake.
I want to workshop the name, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's take a break.
Rattlesnake Jake and Tanner.
And very, very small, fine print.
How about mate? Rattlesnake Jake and mate? No.
Rattlesnake
there.
Jake and his human mate. Then it sounds like you're like lovers. Mate,
like we're mating.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break.
Yeah. We'll take a break and then we'll come back and we'll review this novel for Tim. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so Tim Cook, he's the CEO of Apple, and he, whenever we read these books, he sometimes kind of pops up at the end and asks us very specifically. It's just like, it happens to you, right? It comes up in your the end of your, because we both read it on Apple Books.
Yeah, he'll oftentimes sort of like pop up a little message in, for us that says like, did
rate
you enjoy
book.
The book?
Yeah, and it
like,
says,
rate and review it on iBooks.
Yeah, and no one else does it.
So very few other people do it.
Clearly it's just,
certainly
it's just
very,
us.
Very, very few people.
I think it's
reviews.
Just influencers, but it's mostly
it's
us.
Like, it's like Jake Paul and like...
It's Jake Paul and us.
Markiplier.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and us.
Isn't Jake Paul the secondary Paul?
Jake Paul, I think, has supplanted Logan Paul okay. as the main Paul. He's okay. the one who's like always like getting in boxing matches with people.
Oh, really? Okay, I don't want to talk about him anymore ever again.
Okay,
sure. So it's too good to be true, and what we do like to do, he says, right.
Can we check in on the mission real quick?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think you're being cool this episode?
I kind of think so. I thought that was cool. I think the
reason. Do you think you're rising to the bait often?
I think that what I just did was cool, because I was like,
what did you do?
I was like, I'm too cool to talk about literally the most popular YouTube star.
Oh, I don't think anyone likes him. I think that's the opposite of cool.
Oh, a
you
lot
be
of people
cool
like
saying
him.
How much you love him.
Tens of millions of people like him a lot.
I think you know what would be cool?
Yeah.
Is pretending not to know who he is.
Okay. Do you want to go back and run that?
Yep.
Okay. So you mean like... It's like influencers,
like
I think.
Jake Paul and Markiplier.
What?
Sorry?
Sorry, you just said what sounded like gibberish to me. It sounded like you were having a heart attack. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
What were those words? I've never actually heard those.
I said
phonies.
Jake Paul.
Whoa, are you all right? What's going on?
You got a loogie?
You're hawking a
Jake
loogie?
Jake is a common name. Paul's a common name.
Oh, should we stop the podcast?
You should probably at least be able to.
I don't know what those sounds mean.
You should at least be able to, in context, figure out that
say
it's
it again.
Someone, even if you're not sure who it is.
Say it again.
Jake Paul.
Whoa!
And honestly, he's very, 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 very popular.
Oh, nothing for me. Oh,
so
and it's
like,
making
it's
me feel
sort of
sick.
It's embarrassing. It makes you look very
making me feel
old.
Sick.
That you don't know who he is. It makes you look old and out of touch. Even if you don't like him, you should at least know who he is. Jesus, where have you been?
I don't know what you're saying made me feel sick. I do know who
Logan Paul
YouTubers
is.
Are. Logan Paul, I know.
You know Logan Paul, and you
Logan,
like
Logan Paul,
Paul,
I know. Logan Paul, I do know.
Yeah.
How was that better?
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do a quick review of this book. It says, rate this book. I'm going to hit 5 stars. It's great. And then he says, thanks. Tim Cook says, thanks. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but that's not all you want from us, is it? He says, write a review, he says. Okay. Ratings and reviews. We're going to be the first ones here. There are 10 ratings. It's 10 out of 10, 5 stars. Pretty rare.
Okay.
For Too Good to Be True. Write a review. More Rattlesnake Jake.
I think it's a good venue to sort of introduce Rattlesnake Jake to the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Sort of, this is our pilot in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to rhyme anymore, right?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is Rattlesnake Jake a podcast? Because I don't
for
know
us?
If it's going to, I don't know if it's going to read the same way if it were a visual thing.
My idea was it's a sitcom.
Like a sitcom podcast?
That's not a thing. Like a visual. Why? I can't believe I'm explaining to you what a sitcom is.
A visual
it's like,
thing.
Like TikTok. It's when you watch it. It's like a book, but it's people and there's a
studio
audience.
Oh, like Jake Paul. Like Jake Paul.
I can't hear those words together. It sounds like it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
I don't speak whatever language.
Like Logan Paul.
I know who that is.
Like, started on Vine.
Yeah.
Vine closes.
Yeah, sure. It's like that.
Okay. Okay, I gotcha.
And it's got he's got a big house with like a trampoline in the courtyard, and he annoys his neighbors.
Jake does?
And Logan. Listen,
no, Rattlesnake Jake.
Oh, Rattlesnake Jake. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, maybe.
It's weird that you don't know, you can't understand the name Jake Paul, but you're pitching Rattlesnake Jake as a character.
I only understood the second half of that sentence. But yes, I am pitching Rattlesnake Jake as a character. And so we got to get do you want to put that in the headline? For the title for this review. More Rattlesnake Jake.
More
what
Rattlesnake
about that?
Jake. Yeah.
Exclamation point. Does
you know the song
right?
Wake Me Up When September Ends?
I don't. Yeah, I think so.
From Green Day?
Is it Green Day? Yeah.
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 Should we do something with that? Like, wake me up when...
Okay. Wake me up.
Rattlesnake me up when...
Oh, okay, that's unfortunate.
Jake Tember starts.
That's, I think, a little
getting
too
hard,
nonsensical.
Difficult to follow.
What about...
Wake and bake.
No. Let's try to stay focused. Here. I don't think it needs to be like alliterative. Like, it's just a title.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't need to be alliterative or rhyme or anything. I think it maybe just needs to like basically scan. So I'm thinking more Rattlesnake Jake, please.
Okay. Yeah. I guess there's some curiosity gap.
Because we got a little bit of Rattlesnake Jake
people
in the passage.
And they're like, wait, who's Rattlesnake Jake?
Yeah.
Is that Jake Paul?
Yeah. perfect. I didn't get that. I didn't like it, whatever it was. Okay. More Rattlesnake Jake, please. That's the title.
Yeah.
Let's start with a compliment sandwich. Thank you, Francine, for this interesting exploration of the extended Slenderman universe.
Perfect. Yep. Like you, and remember, mm-hmm. we want to keep this a little bit sexy.
Yeah, like you.
We are also curious about Slenderman's genitals.
Okay, we're going to have to find a way to say that is palatable for
the iTunes. Also curious about what Slenderman is packing.
Yeah.
Can you do emojis?
Is there an emoji that's like suitcase? What about what's in Slenderman's, and then I'll just like find a suitcase emoji.
Yeah, I think so.
What's in Slenderman's?
I'm texting it to you now so that you can copy and paste it right in.
I know how to do it because I've done it.
You've suitcase. Done it?
I've done it. Yeah, I've done it. Because I've got a key command.
Oh, you've got a macro?
Yeah, I've got a macro. Okay. Thank you, Francine, for this what's in Slenderman's suitcase? What else? Our only concern is that you introduced this, should we say, scintillating character? I want to use scintillating for novel, and I don't want to overuse it.
I think it's okay to use it twice. Twice isn't overusing it. Scintillating character in the scintillating novel.
What about captivating? Or do you want to use it twice? Do you want to just go twice?
Captivating is interesting.
Captivating. I say, when in doubt, I write captivating. This captivating character named Rattlesnake Jake in the scintillating novel. And we never heard from him again.
Right. Never heard from him
again.
For the first time.
I mean, well, she introduces him.
Well, kind of in a roundabout way, right? She implied. This is sort of inferred.
Right.
Or
she
did
implied.
You
want me to say implied instead of introduced?
No, because it's still an introduction.
I want to give her credit.
Yeah.
This is a compliment sandwich.
Right.
Is it weird to pitch just another Rattlesnake Jake scenario here?
Yeah. So
with the girls.
Well, so the bit with Rattlesnake Jake seems to be like pulling on something that's long and slender.
Yeah.
Thinking that it's like a rope or like Slenderman's genitals or something like that.
I see
and
where
it
you're
turns
going.
Out that it's Rattlesnake Jake.
Okay, so what if next time or next week?
Next week.
Let's just say next week. What if next week we have, let's pick a grown up just so it's not weird.
Mr. Collins. If anyone's going to be
tugging
on that thing.
To tug on, and I'll just say what's in Slenderman's, and then the suitcase emoji again.
Yeah.
In Slenderman's suitcase emoji.
Is there a rope emoji? Do we know if there's a rope emoji?
Don't you? What's wrong with what's in Slenderman's suitcase?
Well, because you wouldn't tug on a suitcase.
But it says what's in. Oh, tug on the, and then I'll try to do a rope emoji.
I don't think there is a rope emoji, but there's a baguette, which looks a little like a rope.
No, there's a rope.
Okay. I didn't see one.
Tell me which of these is better. I'm sorry. I know this is an audio medium, folks, but I've got two ropes. And tell me which one you like the most, Tanner. I'm texting them to you now. These are our two rope options. One of them's like really kind of sailing-y, and the other one looks like a pearl, like a necklace or something.
The second one doesn't even manifest for me.
Okay, so we'll do
that.
It's
just a bunch of white lines.
Okay.
And I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Maybe it means I need to update my computer.
It does sound like that. All right, so I've got a ropey thing. So what if next week we have Mr. Collins trying to tug on the rope emoji and Slenderman's suitcase emoji, and I don't know how to say this. LOL. What? It's Rattlesnake Jake.
That's fine. What do you mean you don't know how to say it? You just said it perfectly.
I guess I fucking just like literally knocked it out of the fucking park.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good. Anything about the book specifically that we want to say? What do we like? Innie Weenie Rollins doesn't really do much. She just is looking good in a bathing suit. That's a weird thing to even mention.
Is there a B-plot? Jess in New York.
That's kind of a B-plot.
So maybe we say, like, We're both former New Yorkers.
This is good. We're both former New Yorkers. That's very Stacey of us to say.
And we also hate New York. That's why we left.
And we also hate... That's not actually true, but we can, like, form a bond with her, maybe.
Right.
That's why we left. I'm going to put a semicolon in there just out of laziness. That's why we left. I don't want to have a comma splice, you know?
Who would want a comma splice?
Not me. Okay. We're both former New Yorkers. We also hate NYC. That's why we left. But I feel like this needs to be a but here. But not everyone in New York is as bad as you think.
But most people in New York are as bad as you think, though there are a few who are not.
Well, most people in New York, I would love it if we could bring this back to a Rattlesnake Jake bit.
Right.
While most people in New York are as bad as you think.
Okay. The L is closed because they're doing work on the Williamsburg Bridge.
Yeah.
And everyone needs to take an alternate bus route.
Yes. Okay. This is it. This is perfect. Okay. And as you know, the L is closed because they're working on the Williamsburg Bridge. I'm just going to say Wuburg. That's what a cool thing. W apostrophe Berg. Bridge. And everyone needs to take a bus route.
Bus
and,
shuttle. Shuttle bus.
A shuttle bus. And what if you got on it? I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to fucking get this landing wrong.
You got on it. You're getting off at 36.
You
and
got on
5th.
It. Parentheses. You're getting off. At 36 and 5th.
And you pull the the little rope that tells the bus driver that you're ready to stop the bus and get out.
And you pull the little rope. Because she's going to be like, she thinks that we're going to be telling her, like, about how someone in New York is nice, right?
Yeah.
And you pull the little rope that tells the bus driver you want to leave. And then tell me if this is wrong, .. LOL, it's Rattlesnake
Jake. It's Rattlesnake Jake. Yeah. It's from the time that Rattlesnake Jake goes to New York. I think Rattlesnake Jake's trajectory will probably follow, like, the Ernest trajectory a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, one week he's at camp, one week he's in New York, one week it's Halloween, like, that kind of thing.
Okay. This one's from the time that Rattlesnake Jake goes to New York. Does that seem like enough?
You tell me. You're looking at it.
I think it's great. It's actually pretty long.
Okay.
Jack Shepherd, I'm thinking just saying Jack Shepherd and Tanner Greenring, P.S. We love this one.
That's perfect.
Okay, and I'm going to read it back to you.
And we got Scintillating Novel in there?
We got it in there, yeah.
Okay, that's perfect.
Okay, can I read this back to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. More Rattlesnake Jake, please. Thank you, Francine, for this interesting exploration of the extended Slenderman universe. Like you, we are also curious about what's in Slenderman's suitcase emoji.
Mm-hmm.
Our only concern is that you introduced this captivating character named Rattlesnake Jake in this scintillating novel, and we never heard from him again. What if, next week, we have Mr. Collins trying to tug on the robe emoji in Slenderman's suitcase emoji, and... LOL, what? It's Rattlesnake Jake! We're both former New Yorkers, and we also hate NYC. Semicolon. That's why we left. But while most people in New York are as bad as you think, some are not. As you know, the L is closed because they're working on the Williamsburg Bridge, and everyone needs to take a shuttle bus. And what if you got on it? You're getting off at 36th and 5th, and you pull the rope that tells the bus driver you want to leave, and... LOL! It's Rattlesnake Jake!
Yeah.
This one's from the time that Rattlesnake Jake goes to New York.
Goes to New York. That's
Jack Shepherd and Tanner Greenring, P.S. We love this one.
I think that's perfect.
All right, I'm going to hit submit.
Yeah.
All right, you're welcome, Steve.
Steve. We did it again.
God damn it. I always do that. Great. We've got time for Burns. I want to bring something up with you before we... Oh, that's not cool. The voice, I don't know why I was doing it like that.
What are you bringing? You got me on my back foot, Jack, because you did this like sing-songy high voice
I didn't
in a way
like it.
That's like...
No, I've got.
I'm not a body language expert.
Yeah,
I'm not.
It was like a. It's like the teacher. It's like the chaperone on the school bus. It's like, we saw the Eiffel Tower.
You're trying to be cool.
Everybody, it's not cool. It's not cool.
I have one more thing to bring up.
No, I know. That's why I'm...
It's not cool.
I'm backing out of it. And I'm going to... But I want to introduce the same thing, and I'm going to do it in a cool way. Just listen. Hey, want to talk about another thing?
What kind? What are you... Are you coming on to me? What is this?
Just let me bring this up. I'm trying to segue into something.
Okay.
Okay, listen to this. This is so this is early on when Suzanne seems like she's like nice. But she's awful. Once you get inside her mind, she's like, haha, all
yeah,
these
she's,
idiots.
She's bad.
Like,
Francine keeps inviting us into her mind.
It's not pleasant.
Where she's just like, every time like we are invited to her mind, it's always after she's done something to ingratiate herself with the citizens of
Sweet Valley.
Sunnyvale.
Yeah, Sunnyvale is fine.
And every time she's just like, these fucking like dumb
awful
hicks.
Yeah, she literally calls them dumb hicks at one point. Listen to this. This is when she's trying to ingratiate them. Sunday morning, Suzanne.
It's California. It's like essentially Los Angeles. What do you mean dumb hicks?
Come on.
They live in the other major metropolitan area.
Francine's like weird chip on her shoulder about New York. She thinks that like everyone in New York City thinks that like everyone in California is like fucking like down home yokel.
I do think that.
Yeah, same. Sunday morning, Suzanne had gotten up early and surprised them all with an elegant breakfast, a French toast made with grated lemon peel and sprinkled with powdered sugar. Suzanne, that's not how you make French toast.
Oh, I think that sounds good.
Made with grated lemon peel and sprinkled with powdered sugar. Hey, you know what I like in my French toast? Maybe a little bread and some a little bit of batter.
What's it called? Fake eggs?
No, not fake eggs. I like soy milk and nutritional yeast.
That's not French toast either.
It's better than what she's doing.
Why would she use those fake egg beaters? What are those called?
I'll tell you why. You want to know why? Yeah. I've been a vegan for so many years now, like literally many decades. And back in the olden times, You learned how to do it without this like newfangled shit, and so now I do it the way I do it.
Okay.
And I think it's soy milk and nutritional yeast.
Sounds so gross. Yuck.
But Suzanne's doing it with just grated lemon peel and sprinkled with powdered sugar. That's nothing.
Wrong.
That's awful.
Yeah, that doesn't even sound. That just sounds. What do you just have like a spoonful of that?
Yeah, and it's no bread, and it's none of the way down in these books.
No.
There's no bread in these books. They don't even try.
Anti-bread theory.
It's anti-matter, anti-bread, I guess. Let's do our burns.
Oh, okay. Should I do mine?
It's not kind of a burn-like book, but...
Steven's in town this week for some reason that they don't really get into.
They get into it because it's like they're like obsessed with setting up the next novel.
Yep.
They're like completely obsessed with setting up the next novel. And so like Kate, I just think of like, and this, we haven't explored this relationship enough, but it's like Kate is like, I can tell that Kate William is just like long suffering. She's chained to a fucking desk.
Yeah.
And Francine just like flits in and out with her like martini. And right. It's like, did you remember to put Steven in for next week?
She's got one of those like those wine toppers that turns that like you put on the top of a bottle of wine and it's just a wine cup.
Yeah,
like, I'm just having one.
That's funny.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And Kate's like, yeah, okay, fine. It doesn't fit with the plot. I'm already really doing a lot. Like, there's like a sex pest in New York,
and
like,
a sex pest in Sunnyvale,
Sunnydale, and like. I don't have time to put Steven in this.
Right.
And Francine's like, don't make me angry. And so, anyway, Steve's is in this book. Yeah. And that's the brother of the Wakefields.
Mrs. Wakefield filled them in on the details. Suzanne's plane is due in half an hour. It's too bad you won't be able to meet her, Jess, but your plane is going to be boarding any minute. We'd better get down to the gate if you don't want to miss it. Wouldn't that be awful if you did miss your plane, Elizabeth said as they lined up to have the luggage x-rayed. Stephen laughed. Yeah, then we'd be stuck with Jess for another 2 whole weeks.
Funny.
Burn on Jess.
Burn on Jess. But also, like, just literally true.
Yeah, she's awful. Except they get a worse Jess. I guess Stephen doesn't really interact with Suzanne.
He's like fully occupied with his girlfriend, who something's going wrong with her. And she's from a poor family.
Right, which is not
in Francine's world. That's really
not
a
notable
kiss of
to
death.
Us, but it's yeah, something Francine.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be clear. It's not something that I picked up on and was like, oh, weird.
Yeah.
But it's something that Francine really like puts up the fucking, pulls over the car and puts up the road flares.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody is not wealthy.
Yeah.
And so something's going on over there.
Yeah.
Let me read you my burn. So Elizabeth eventually, even though Suzanne is kind of running circles around Elizabeth this week, Elizabeth does eventually get the better of her. She does a very funny, clever thing. Well, it's actually,
it's not Elizabeth. It's Egbert.
Yeah. Winston. Egbert, he's like obsessed with her. He like is serenading her in the middle of the night.
She's a hottie boom body.
And he's like, and she's like kind of leading him on. And so he's like the most obsessed with her of all the boys. And then in this moment where like, you know, it's this big party, and the question is for everyone to answer is, has Liz like gone back to her post coma, like,
oh, right,
Jessica personality and is just telling lies? Or is it in fact the case that the seemingly nice and beautiful Suzanne is not what she seems and has framed Mr. Collins? And Winston helps to turn the tide by, he does a big trip over. And,
Winston can sense that there's evil within her.
It spills and spills his tomato juice down her front.
Yeah,
and then he later admits that he did it deliberately.
He's got like a carafe of tomato juice.
Yeah, cool guy. Really cool guy.
He carries around the party. It's like, can I freshen up that drink? And everyone's like, is that tomato juice?
And Suzanne has gone to the party
drinking
with
wine.
Aaron, who's the muscular co-captain of the soccer team. Gosh, Susie, I really feel awful about it. Here, let me help you. Winston made a clumsy attempt at mopping up the front of Suzanne's dress with a crumpled handkerchief he'd fished from his pocket. You shouldn't do that, I think. If you spill something down someone's front, you shouldn't then, like, rub their feet.
Oh, no, that's bad. You want to take club soda and you want to, you want to dab it. You definitely don't want to, like, scrub it, you know?
Maybe a little bit of vinegar? Like, spray a little bit of vinegar on there?
Man, you know what you're describing. Hmm. A shrub. And I would take one of those right now, right?
What's a shrub?
A shrub is sort of a non-alcoholic cocktail made out of sipping vinegar and often like sort of florals or aromatics.
So when you said, and I would take one of those right now, am I right in a like winky, drinking is fun kind of way? What did you
mean? No, a shrub is, a shrub is good. Maybe you can mix a little alcohol into a shrub if you wanted.
It'd be like a tasty non-alcoholic beverage. Oh, yeah. Man, I would take one of those right now.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't work.
It's hot. It's summer. I don't get what we're hung up on. You don't even know what a shrub is.
I do now.
They're good.
Anyway, Winston made a clumsy attempt at mopping up the front of her dress. Suzanne shoved him away. Get off me, you dumb clod, she said, from the fucking 50s?
Yeah. what an insult. Now everyone surely knows
1985,
her character.
People weren't saying, you dumb Claude, surely.
Yeah.
Get off me, you dumb Claude. You're only making it worse. Can't you just leave me alone? You've been following me around like some kind of big, stupid dog ever since I met you. And I should be clear, this is shocking based on what we've seen of her so far. She's been so nice publicly.
Monocles are popping out and shattering everywhere.
Suddenly, she realized everyone was staring at her. Abruptly, she stopped screaming. Her sweet, smiling mask shifted back into place. She even attempted a weak laugh, as if the whole thing had been a joke, as if she hadn't really meant all those cruel things she said to Winston. But it was too late. The suspicious looks that had been directed at Elizabeth a minute ago were now on her. "Never mind, Winston," she simpered. "It was just a silly accident. I'm sorry I blew up at you. I was getting tired of this dress anyway, so you probably did me a favor." Turning to Aaron, she cooed, "Would you mind taking me home so I can change? I must look an absolute disaster." Aaron gave her a calculating look and said coolly, "I don't know, Suzanne. I think it suits you just fine the way it is."
It's pretty good.
Because she is a disaster.
Yeah.
She's a disaster.
Walking disaster.
And guess what? When you're a disaster, you look great in a fucking tomato juice dress.
Yeah.
Just sipping a shrub. Burn on her. Sipping a shrub.
Yeah. So two pretty weak burns this week. It was a burn light book.
It was a pretty good burn. I thought it was a good burn.
Next week, I think Stephen will probably be trying to reconcile his relationship with
Trisha,
but we shan't be reading that because we will be moving on to new pastures.
Okay.
Exciting.
That's happening
new...
next week. Okay.
Well, we'll
fine.
See, but I'm sort of counting on it.
I mean, you've been saying this the last few weeks, but maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah.
I believe it. I'm starting to believe it. I think it's going to happen next week. All that remains is for me to say thank you, Tanner. So
you're
much
welcome.
For bearing
hey,
with
you're
me
welcome.
This week, I'd like to thank the Sweeties so very much for bearing with us. Next week, I don't know. We'll see. But before we get to that, I would like to remind everybody that they can subscribe to our Patreon and should, in fact.
Yep. We do the Saddle Club books now.
We're reading the Saddle Club books now. We're having a pretty good time with them. Yes. We're going to be doing it for a little bit. It's a great time to jump on board.
Last week.
Yeah.
If you're not a subscriber, here's something you can kind of to whet your whistle a little bit.
Yeah.
To whet your appetite. It last week.
It finally happened. We've been planning for it.
Jack and I read different books. Jack read the
technically
what could
book.
Be considered
yeah.
technically the correct book.
Yeah.
And I read another book.
That was wrong.
What could be considered
yeah.
the last book in the series.
Yeah. But we did it anyway.
Well, we did it anyway. We just
we did it anyway, and that's a kind of fun that we're having over there. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Here's another thing that is true. If you want to just support our show and just throw us a few bucks to help us kind of deal with costs and keep ourselves afloat, there's a link that you can do it. We have a support page now.
Oh, on Anchor?
On Anchor. And right. I think we should just create a bit.ly now.
Okay. It's called bit.ly/...
Support Jack and Tanner.
More money, more problems. No.
No.
Support Jack and Tanner is kind of a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
Rattlesnake Jake. bit.ly/RattlesnakeJake.
Yeah. Please
go to
bit.ly.
And that's how you can just give us money directly if that's something you're interested in doing.
Yeah. And you can sign up to support
us. It will go
us
into the show. We're not going to like spend it on like...
trinkets,
you know, like fun dip.
That helps us support us, and we do have a supporter currently who found it before we even advertised it, and I want to thank you so very much indeed.
Yep, thank you
for doing that. So bit.ly/rattlesnakejake.
I could go for some fun dip right now, though.
Please,
do they even make fun dip anymore? When's the last time you saw that in stores?
Is that the thing where you have like a candy that's the spoon and you put it in powder?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that sounds good. You can buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch, and you can, of course, and must indeed join our Facebook group. It's the Baby Nation on Facebook, and get in there. Our Facebook page is, it's there, but we don't post on it. Facebook group, very active. Everyone in there is nice and good. Go join it. It's really fun in there, and everybody has a good time.
Yep.
Please do rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts, especially... if next week we launch a whole new thing, this would be a great time to go in and show some support and give us a 5-star rating and give us a nice review and help us to show to Apple that we deserve to remain in their ranking so that other people can discover the show. Yeah. Tell a friend about our show. Finally, I would like to tell you that this week we did read a novel. The novel that we read was called Sweet Valley High, number 11, Too Good to Be True. If we're reading a Sweet Valley High book next week, which kind of seems unlikely based on the attitude of some of the people in this podcast, I'm not naming any names, but if we do read one, it's going to be called Number 12, When Love Dies. It's going to be about Steve and Trisha, I think.
Okay.
It's going to be the launch of our romance podcast, The Strange Bedfellows. It's going to be the same fucking thing. So stick around, but it's about romance.
Probably keep exploring Senator Slenderman's genitals to some degree.
Yeah, we're going to probably keep exploring Senator Slenderman's genitals to some degree, but for those of you who didn't understand what that meant, what I would like to say is that
he's a senator now.
The book that we're going to be reading is Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. It's really fun.
If you watch Attack of the Clones in the Senate scene,
okay,
you can see Slenderman in one of those Senate pods in the background.
I just want to give people a heads up about that so that they can have time to read it.
Well, you just have to watch Attack of the Clones.
On the other hand,
you don't even have to watch the whole thing. Watch that one Senate scene.
Drawn inexorably to the concept of Senator Slenderman's genitals. Unfortunately, we don't have time to explore that. What we do have time to explore is who we are, and who I am this week is Sweet Valley Jack.
Tanner.
A great big Sweet Valley bye to all the sweeties.
Bye.
We're big girls. We can take care of ourselves. I met Kevin Nealon once. He's a vegan. All vegans know each other.
Okay.
Isn't that cool?
Not really.
No.
Be very